Can we go into the word this morning? Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity and truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Each part of us, Yes, for there is this army of the Lord that is rising on a daily basis. There is this troop of people who are going out of their way and their comfort zone to exhibit that which God has called them to do. There are post kimbosh kibanavos, ifroponabosh ipanavkadabos, ifropos kendanaboshikata. Yes, the army of the Lord, which he has been raising from time immemorial. These are those who are going to give themselves to the ministry of the word, the ministry of the prayer, and the ministry of the things of the spirit. Yes, you are in that number. I'm in that number. So do well to pay attention to that which God would have you do per time. For you see, staying in God's will is what will make you have the full peace that comes with the resurrection. Post kibakavkush in the nabos, ifropos. In the Nabo, keep up on the Nabo, see? Oh, yes, it looks like the storm is raging. It looks like the clouds are getting dark. Looks like, oh, that storm is about to come. But guess what? There is the security that we have in being in Christ Jesus. There is this assurance that we have that upon his resurrection we are alive forever. So do well to pay attention to that reality in you, for it is an ever standing reality. It is an eternal reality that stands from now to the ages to come. It is the reality that God has put in you, which is going to make you, you know, pass iposh iforabos, itananakasi poraboshikata, inabos kevo, yeah, potinada. Yes, it's going to make you weather through that storm. Going to make you weather through the storm, and you will see that, oh, the victory that you're looking for is already in you. You will see that the victory that you're chasing after is already in you. For there is peace in you. Why? Because you are in God's army. Do well to pay attention to that, because what brings you to that club is the resurrection reality. What brings you to that club is the resurrection reality. Do well to pay more attention to that resurrection reality, for that is victory note in itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive clarity this morning. There is no confusion. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word. You know, we've been dealing with something particular in the last few weeks. In the part of the world where I come from, which is Nigeria, I don't know if most of you are from that part of the world. They say, Igewai. Yes, you know what it means when they say Igewai? Get why is the Greek way of saying there's a reason. Okay, beautiful. Revelation 3. Yeah, so we want to see God's word and see how God's salvation plan has been his progressive plan from time. Yes, we want to see how salvation is not something God just woke up one morning and changed his mind and said, oh, you know what, I'm going to save those people. Yeah, but before that, we want to do something that's very important to us. We are dealing with the series Fix Your Eyes. Look at everybody and say, Fix Your Eyes. Say, fix your eyes. Talk to me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us and what? Leaving us and what? That you should what? Follow his steps, yeah? So we saw that word there, example, is the word that speaks about a written copy. So now, we have a written copy showing the sufferings that Jesus went through. They deliberately wrote those things for us to see an example that we would follow. So it means that the sufferings of Christ is an example that the saints should follow. It means that the saint is called to suffer the way Christ suffered. Are we together? Are we together? So, you need to be careful when you sing songs like me, I no go suffer, I no go beg for bread, God of miracle, now he suffer. Yes, the God of miracles suffered for us. Yeah, you know, there's a line actually. So, the suffering of scripture speaks about the persecution that comes for the sake of the gospel. Are we together? Yeah, but you know, but we see Paul also suffered materially. Are we together? Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4 verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me has flourished again. He says, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked the opportunity. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned. Paul said, I have learned. Say, I have learned.
I have learned.
Paul said that, right? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. Now, if you read this verse in isolation, you might think he's saying whatever state speaks about being human or being spiritual. The next verse tells you the state he's talking about. Look at verse 12. I know both how to what? Be abased, and I know how to what? Abound. Yeah? Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be. So if you don't get abased and abound, you must get full and hungry. Are we together? There's something called, you know what it means to be full, you know what it means to be hungry. Yes? But both to abound and to what? Suffer need. So Paul suffered need. Yes? So look at it. The Paul that said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, suffered needs. Right? Philippians 4, what? 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. We've done series in church to explain what the riches of God is. Not material. Not material. Yeah, the riches of God is not, the riches of God as taught in the epistles is not material at all. Else no Christian on earth should be poor. Yes, but the riches in glory is the riches of the inheritance we have received upon believing the gospel. That is the riches of his mercy, riches of his grace, and the riches of his spirit. So how does God supply needs to the saints? He supplies needs to the saints by other saints paying attention to the liberal ability they have, yeah, to distribute from what they have. We've done hours and months of teachings on that. So Paul now says, I know what to be to abound and to suffer need. Look at verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Paul now says, I can do all things through Christ. How can Paul be talking about how to be hungry and talking about how to be full? And the next thing he says, I can do all things through Christ. And you think he's talking about going to the top building of the top floor of the building and jumping down. At least I can do all things through Christ. Let me say about business proposal. Let me ask you a question. If we are flying to, come on, Lagos for 5 minutes. If we are flying to Lagos and the pilot just speaks the mic. And the only part you hear from what he's saying is, yeah, I've not gone to piloting school, but my pastor told me Philippians 4:19 should be my watch verse. For he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Look at my neighbor in the plane. And they're about to take off. What will you do? You take down. Yeah? As they're about to take off, you take off. How do you take off? You run. Right? So I can do all things. It's not a general verse that speaks about everything on earth. There is not one person on earth that can do all this, even those that are teaching it every day. If you can, go to Abuja Airport and run on the tarmac. When they say, what are you doing? You say, I'm about to what? Take off. I don't need a plane. See, if you can do all things, nobody needs visa. Right? So what is, I can do all things. The word all things must be in the context of all things. So what Paul is really saying is, I can do all these things that I mentioned. Right? What are the things he mentioned? How to be full, how to be hungry. So I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. So what brings strength to Paul is not the hunger or the fullness. Is that right? Yeah? It's not that he is sufficiently fed or he is hungry. No, what brings strength to him is what? Christ. So what is Paul saying? Whether you are hungry, whether you are full, your derivation of strength should come from Christ in you, not the hunger or the food. So did Paul suffer needs? Did Paul suffer needs? Beautiful. Go back to 1 Peter 2. Verse 21. For even hereunto were he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Are we together? So it means that the sufferings of Christ is a template for us that will live by him, or that will live through him. Yeah, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Yeah, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord what? Delivered me. Now look at verse 12. Let's read this part together so you know it's not. So you might want to check your Bible so you will not say that I asked Brother Steve to upload this one. Yeah? So let's read verse 12 together. Either screen or Bible. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Is in your Bible? You can confirm. Yeah? So they that will live godly in Christ. So when you hear people say something like, oh, a life without Christ will be full of crises. You are your own. Don't think about it. Don't you know that there are a lot of opportunities you have that you can use to make multi-millionaire from between now and next week, but you choose not to do it. Why? Because you are living a life in Christ. You chose not. It was your decision. Are we together? So, Paul says what? Ye and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So go to Philippians, where we ended on Wednesday. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now, the book of Philippians, like we mentioned, is a book that Paul mentioned the word joy the most, or rejoicing the most, and they were going through severe persecution. Yeah, so look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Now, Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whatever I come and see you, whether I come to see you rather, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of what? Perdition. So we explained that on Wednesday. What is Paul teaching? That those who oppose you are only showing that they are children of perdition. But the fact, look at it, it says, but to you it is of what? Salvation. It is a proof that you are saved. Now look at verse 29. Let's read verse 29 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody, hold on. Say unto me. Say unto me. Call of you now, say only me. Unto me, unto you. Say unto me. So read that verse as if Paul is talking to you. Right? Not like Paul will write a letter to you, not take it back to Paul. Paul is talking to you. Say unto me. So we change unto you or is unto me. Let's read Philippians 1:29 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. So the sufferings of Christ that made us saved is an example that we are to follow. Now, that message you have believed that made you saved is an example that shows to you that you are going to suffer for his sake. Are we together? Yeah? So it means that in this Christian faith you find yourself, people will talk anyhow to you because they are Christian. See, persecution has stopped for suffering for Christ's sake. It's not the one where this person I'm talking about is not the one where somebody on the street slaps you just because you stepped on him. Yeah? You know, you can walk on the street and you step on someone mistakenly, and the next thing the person does is to give you a slap. They say, no, Christ said I will suffer for him. But in the real sense, the reason why you're not giving him back a slap is for the sake of Christ. Are we together? Altogether, I'm going to teach something today. Now, you know, there's a difference between when life deals with you. You know, there's a way a big man will slap you outside, and you will not retaliate. Don't say that's because of Christ. You saw the effrontery in the man, right? There's somebody, imagine, you know, this comedian do a lot of those things now. Yeah, somebody will just, where is that guy? And the guy just comes out with big chest without singlet, and comes out and stand. Say, I just wanted to know your name. You see, all those things is not suffering for Christ, though. Suffering for Christ will entail that you are in a position where you can confidently and cope. It's just like me dealing with a small baby. The people cannot beat me, no matter how powerless I am. Right? What will make... Okay, let me use this example you understand. Think about it this way. Your mother, when you were small, if you misbehave, what will happen? Your mother will bring cane and flog you. Right? That was then. But today, if your mother flogs you, she has to think twice. Are we together? Because some people, their mother will do them like this, they do them like this, they do them like this. So the mother too will respect her own old age. Right? That she's not beating you at your age right now is not suffering for Christ, though. She knows the glory that will follow if she beats you. Are we together? Then when you were less than 10 years, come here, bring up. But now, so there is something called suffering for Christ, and there's something called being scared of life. Are we following? Now, see what Paul says. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now go to the next verse, which is the next chapter. Okay, verse 30. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Verse 30, verse chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Remember the background I told you about Philippians. The Philippians were going through persecution. Right? So what did Paul say to the Philippians? Oh, the reason why you have adversity is a proof that they are children of perdition. But unto your sake is a proof that you are saved. Right? That's why I keep asking you a question. And I keep saying this. Paul and the apostles could not have been teaching that come to Christ and you will never suffer. Right? Imagine Paul in his days carrying a megaphone. Okay, megaphone is new. Imagine Paul going around telling them that, oh, I see the you in you. The you that you are is bigger than the you that you really see yourself as. Just, you don't see yourself the way you see. Mm-mm. All those motivational speaking. If that was what Paul and Peter were saying, would they want to kill them? Why do you want to kill me for me telling you that, oh, I see the bigger in you? Why do you want to kill me? So it means that the message of the apostles that was consistent with that of Jesus is a message that will tickle your mind. Yes? Can you imagine Peter going to say, there are 10 of you who God wants to promote before the end of this year, but you need to sow a seed. Yeah? And not just a normal seed, a dangerous seed. Yeah? For when the money in your hand cannot meet your need, you sow as a seed. And somebody that is very more deceitful will be on the keyboard. Bah, bah. Boom. That was a good time. And he will step. And you know, his stepping posture will just change. And you, is it? Think about the things now. Notice 90% of the apostles were killed. Think about what they were possibly saying. They were possibly saying, or they were definitely saying, that salvation is eternal. They were definitely saying that God who forgives sins has forgiven sins. They were definitely saying that a man who is born again can never be unborn again. Please think about this. Even in our generation today, people who want to stone me for what I just said. Pastor, I give people license to sin. A man doesn't need a license before he sins. The first time you lied in your life, nobody gave you a what? Permit. You know, the way you have letters permit, you have another one, lying permit. Anytime you lie, you bring out your lying permit. Nobody gave you a permit. Yet we are influenceable and impressionable, and by the things of this world, we learn certain lifestyles and we live that lifestyle. Are we together? Yeah? So let me help you now. So that one of the teachings we are going to do, basically salvation. Now, Adam's sin did not make everybody a sinner. I think I've said this in church already. Adam's sin, it says, by one man's sin, we all came a sinner. No. Let me everything get it. So if Adam's sin made everybody born a sinner, it means that when Jesus was born of Mary, he was born a sinner. It means that 2 Corinthians 5:21, when it says he who knew no sin was made sin, is not correct. Are we together? So we're going to explain Romans 5. Romans 5 is teaching that Adam set a pattern that men followed. Not that, think about it, imagine, even the same scripture, Ezekiel, Jeremiah says that, no longer again will a father pay, or will a child pay for the sins of his father. You get 2021, when did they create Adam? And you not believe any child will give birth to you, just, no. If Adam's sin made everybody on earth a sinner, it means that the death and resurrection of Christ has made everybody a Christian. Because it's for one man, but by one man, sin came, right? And by another, grace, right? So it means that everybody that was born after the time of Jesus was born again because of one man's work, Christ. No. Adam set a pattern. Man must follow that pattern to be identified with that pattern. Jesus set a pattern. Man must follow that pattern Jesus set to be identified with that pattern. Is that clear? I want to take hours to explain that. So he says that fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. 23 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Now look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. Now look at verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let this mind be in you, which was only in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 2, verse 3, look at verse 2 again. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Look at verse 3 now. Let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. So it means that there's a tendency for you to be influenced by the activities of the world and you get into strife. You get cranky. Right? There's a tendency. But Paul says, let nothing be done. There is that tendency. See, the fact that you're a Christian doesn't exempt you from the tendency to walk in strife. Did you get that? Yes, the only advantage you have is that you can superimpose your reality on that activity. You can superimpose your reality on that activity so that the nativity of the Paul tells you in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in who? Did he say let the mind of Bill Gates be in you? So, look at this. Let the mind of Bill Gates be in you is okay for your financial and your career life. But even before that mind should be in you, there's supposed to be a mind already in you, which is the same that was in Christ. You know what that means? It means that your perspective of that mind or your mindset will influence how you see other faces of your life. Are we here? Are we here? Are we going to? We're here, right? So he says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. The word let this mind, the phrase let this mind be in you, is a phrase that means to set your mind deliberately on something. I'll say it again. The phrase that means let this mind be in you is a phrase that means to set your eyes or set your heart deliberately on something. It's an action you take deliberately. I will show you why it's a deliberate action you take. Okay? I'll show you quickly in that same Philippians. So it means to set your affection, set your mind on something deliberately. It's an action you deliberately take. This is different from I have the mind of Christ. Are we together? This is different from I have the mind of Christ. This one speaks about your attitude towards life. It speaks about your attitude towards adversaries, towards challenges. Paul says it was also in Christ. So the sufferings of Christ is a template that we would follow. Hallelujah. 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 So it means to change your priorities. To change your priorities. So a believer has a choice to either change his priorities or allow the cares of this world be number one in his life. Are we together? Are we together? There is nothing like, because you're a Christian, they cannot sack you. They sack pastors. There is nothing that, because you are a Christian, they cannot reject you. They reject pastors. I'm a living testimony. Are we together? There is nothing that, because you are in Christ. That's why I said something. Proper explanation of scriptures determines how you view life. All things are mine. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says all things are mine. Now, let me say this to you. Did the Bible say all things are yours? Is in the Bible? Are all things yours? So is the Bible lying? So where is the deception from? Proper interpretation of scriptures. So if I say the Bible says that all things are mine, oh, everything I have, everything I need on earth comes to me. Majority of what will come to you is in relation to poverty. No, I did not say poverty. It has to be a relation to poverty. Oh, no, I don't work. I'm a man of grace. I don't work. All I do, I just do things with ease. Or that, if you don't toil the ground, poverty will come to you in ease. Are we together? Are we together? The Christian faith doesn't exempt people from laboring. Do miracles happen? Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. But even the miracles you think are unique to you are not unique to you. That's why when you go out on the streets to preach the gospel of evangelism, you don't preach your experiences or testimonies. Before I found Christ, I was doing Uber. Now I found Christ, I'm doing Buddha Uber. Okay? Okay? Stay away. The message of the gospel must be unique. I'm sorry. Who is the one that over here? I didn't mean him. The message of the gospel entails that Bill Gates will sit right here, and I will sit right here, and we'll both listen and take notes. Any message we preach that Bill Gates cannot listen to, or Bill Gates doesn't think he has a need of, or Elon Musk, is not the message of the gospel. So, this year, God wants to prosper you. It's not the message of the church. Because if Bill Gates sits here, he cannot say amen to that. He just say, ah, ha, ha, ha. And the prosperity that ye all seek. Is that not the truth? You are laughing. Hope you know that you are laughing. That's all of us. Yeah. Because imagine Bill Gates sits here, Elon Musk sits here, and I sit there. And the pastor keeps talking and sweating. He just be the pastor after church. It's like, why are you sweating so much? What's your problem, land? What are your challenges? There's a lot of things that Christians call prayer points. A man on earth will answer them. Just one man. Are we together? So the message of the gospel must be something you draw a line in or with in your mind. You must separate that which is of God, that which God promised you. The scripture promises that you shall lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. That is your promise. That is a promise they gave you. It didn't say anywhere you step into, you must get the job. No, joblessness should not be this high in Nigeria. The richest men in the world are not Christians. But there is something Paul says, let this mind be in you. Fix your eyes on that which matters. Because you will not always have what you want. Are we together? Do miracles happen? Yes. Did you experience miracles last week? Yes. We've experienced miracles about miracles about miracles. But the miracles is not the testimony. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Revelation, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of their testimony. Are we together? So what is it saying? It's not saying the blood overcomes every challenge. And some challenges that the blood doesn't overcome. Are we together? If it show you, just be drinking the blood of Jesus every day and go and campaign for president of Nigeria. So there are things on earth that even though you need to pray, there are certain things on earth that are principles you must obey. For instance, if you want to win election, you what? You campaign. You know, I always say, let me say it again. You don't need to pray if you are going for election. Am I saying don't pray? No, listen to my English. You don't need to pray. Why am I saying this? If you are a Christian, I'm a Christian, you are a Christian. We are going for the same governor of Kwara. We are praying to the same daddy. You wake up in the morning and say, Daddy, Lord, in heaven. I wake up in the morning and say, Father in heaven, eternal. This one that's the eternal of ages. We are praying to the same God. Who should God answer among these children? Eternal rock is what God should answer, man. It has to be eternal rock because you have washed him. You have washed him ahead. How is election won? It is won by what? Campaigning. So the only way you win election is by campaigning. That's why it is very interesting to say people teach that the president of US determines God's will on earth. That's fallacy. Are we together? Yes, you win election by convincing the people or convincing the ballot boxes. They must be convincing. By convincing the people, that's why election nowadays becomes more terrible. Because you'll be giving somebody 20,000 naira and say, I'm voting for you. You give 20 people 20,000 naira and say, oh, you are a man. On the day of election, it's only you that voted for yourself. Where did they go to? You know, different if it's maybe 3 people that voted. Because you will not trust the 20 people that voted, but only you voted for yourself. But what happens? Paul says, no matter what you go through, let this mind be in you. He says, fix your eyes on that which matters. Because that was the mindset Jesus had. Now let me show you where I was going to. Look at verse 6. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Who being in the form of God? Now, it means that for every time Jesus was on earth, it was the fullness of God. When, for every time you saw that it looked like Jesus was helpless, it's not that he was helpless. He chose not to take from help. That's why the devil came to tempt him. If you are really sure you are the Son of Man, throw yourself. Turn stone to bread. Could Jesus have done that? Could he have done that? Could he do the miraculous? Yes. But it says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let's pay attention to a few words in that verse. You know, the word there being in the form, yes, you know, it's like that word that speaks about a baby being or taking the form of a womb, a mother's womb before he or she is born. So when God became a man that you see as Jesus, he didn't lose his godishness. Did you get that? I'll say it again. When God became a man, he didn't lose his being God. He was God who became a man. He was not less of a deity. He wasn't less God. So in the four Gospels, we see God as a man. No longer God, now a man. There's a difference, though. Let me say it again. We see God as a man. Not we see God no longer God, but now a man. It is God as a man. Are we together? So in the four Gospels, you see God. So in the fact that he was still a man, he was still the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That's why you hear things like 100% divinity, 100% humanity. Yes, on his human side, he was feeding, he was eating. On his divine side, there was a purpose, there was an assignment. Sufferings, I'll leave an example for us. So, the one who created the universe lived in the womb of a woman. So, Paul says, who taught it not robbery to be equal with God? Now, the word they taught it, yeah, is the Greek word that means to consider or to deem fit or to take into account. I'll say it again. Yeah, the word they taught it is a word that speaks of to consider or to deem fit or to take into account. So now, the word taught it is a single Greek word in the Greek manuscript. The word not is another word. Now, so this taught it is a single word that speaks about considering something or deeming or taking something to be or to deem fit or to take into account something. But the moment the Greek manuscript introduces a not, the not is a negative word. So it means that it is a negative of what he said. If I remove not that negative word, it means that I'm saying that she is a boy. So the word there, thought, it means to consider. So if you say consider not, it means that he did not consider. Did you get that? Did you get that? If this verse had said, who being in the form of God, thought it robbery, is different. But it says, thought it not robbery. Now, let me pay attention to that word robbery. That word there, robbery, you see, a word only makes sense in the context in which it is used. The word there, robbery, is not really a word that speaks about going to steal in prison and prison estate. Are we together? Are we together? The word there, robbery, is a word that speaks about to see something. Yeah? To lay hold on something. So it means that Jesus thought it not robbery to lay hold on the fact that he is equal to God. Are we here? Everybody's looking at me strange. Are we following? Are we sure? So, Jesus, who was God, he did not consider his godishness. Right? He didn't say, where are they that trouble me? And he just looked back. Everybody just start flying back. You see, don't let Nollywood or Bollywood or Hollywood create the image of God in your mind. The image of God is seen solely from scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? Now, why is the message we preach foolishness to the unbeliever? It is because it sounds foolish to say your God became a man. It's foolishness, but that's God's wisdom. Hallelujah. That's God's wisdom. Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He thought it not robbery, so he did not hold on to the fact that he was equal to God. Or let me say this way. He didn't hold on to the fact that he was God. Paul tells you in Philippians 1, he says, let that example, yeah, let that example be an example that you follow. We are going to suffer for his sake. So when you see that Jesus appeared vulnerable, no, he wasn't vulnerable, is that he did not lay hold on that which supplied him from being vulnerable. When you see Jesus was helpless, no, it's not that he was helpless. No, he didn't lay hold on that ability. That's because he could do anything he wanted. If God could have chosen to live in the womb of a woman, it means that God can choose to do anything he wants. Are we together? God decided to live in the womb of a woman without the sperm of a man. That's a miracle. Are we together? That's a miracle. But yeah, that's not the miracle that got you saved. Oh, glory to God. The miracle that got you saved is not that he lived in the womb of a woman without a man's sperm. Miracle that got you saved is that he rose again. So in his death, we see that covers his suffering. And in the resurrection, we see that covers his death and his suffering. So that he is alive today, it means that he died and rose again. That is why you are no longer in your sins. For your sins not to be forgiven again, it means that Jesus has to die again and not rise. For Jesus to die again and not rise, it means that your sins are not forgiven eternally. But the fact that he lives forever, in his living, is a perpetual, continuous, everlasting, eternal proof that your sins are forgiven forever. It means that God lives in you forever, no matter what comes your way. Are we together? No matter where you find yourself. So, it means that if you go for a job interview and they sack you, fix your hands on that which matters. God lives in me forever. Hebrews 10:5. Hallelujah. Let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with that which you have. What is that which you have? For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. That you may say, the Lord is my helper. So you go for that job interview. They start, what do? You turn out. Fix your eyes on that which matters. The Lord is my helper. How together? How together? Yeah, see, that is the practical aspect of our Christian faith. Are we together? Are we here or we gonna? Hallelujah. So he being God. So you see what I mean? Look at it. Some of us will connect us some days. We say, you know who I am? What gave you your impression about who you are is what Christ did. The Christ that gave you that impression taught him not robbery to be equal with God. Praise God. So he says he taught him not robbery. That's not robbery. So it means that when we are doing service to God, we must first consider the template that Jesus left for us. Yeah? Not when you come to church and you're praying. Yeah? You know, when it's time for worship, I don't just, it's just the heart God sees. I don't even sing. As I saw some of you, eh? The best time we know that you're really serving God is when you have that multi-billion contract and you remain as simple as you are. Are we together? This is the example. Jesus, who was God, did not consider his being God. You with the multi-million contract did not consider your multi-million contract in service, in suffering for his sake. Are we together? That's why the church is a leveler for both the rich and the poor. Are we together? The church is a leveler for both the rich and the poor. Not special attention given to those who have money or those who give more. No, Bible says that neither born nor what? Free. Neither male nor female. Neither Jew nor Greek, but we are all one in Christ. So let your attention be on the fact that, oh, Jesus Christ, who made you are by faith. Did you see Jesus? Before you get born again, did you see Jesus? Eh? You didn't see Jesus. So the only reason why you are born again is by faith. That person who was in the real flesh says what? Who taught you not wrongly to be equal with God? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So it means that your mindset must be in a way such that nothing that anybody does affects your service to God. Such that any job you lose doesn't affect your service to God. It is your eyes fixed. Your eyes fixed on that which matters. Hallelujah. 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 Are we here? Glory to God. Nobody corrects you, you say, who is this one that's talking now? Sorry, brother. Is there anybody talking there? Hallelujah. So some people, you correct some people in the church, they're like, my younger sister can give birth to you. God in himself did not consider that fact. See, will there always be reasons to make or to, will there always be reasons to be able to defend why you should not do certain things? Yes. Before they give birth to you, you have finished secondary school. And now they were telling me this. Yeah, Bible says, let this mind be in you. What is the mind? He who was God, taught it not robbery. He's God all by himself. Yes, God by himself. God all by himself. Yeah, never allow your position, either you get the job or not, never allow it to enter your head. Let your eyes be fixed on that which matters. Listen and say, I will fix my eyes on that which matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us, what is in our head today is our degree, our certificate. I was the top most in my class. I was topper than the toppest in the class. Yes? When you get to that door, let your degree certificate stay where it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get to that door, let your managing director of position stay at the door. You are coming among saints where there is no Greek nor Jew. Yeah? So Jesus himself was not going to be born again. Is that not true? He was the one that was supplying being born again to you. But yet, this part on him. Let me show you something that shocked me when I found out. Do you realize that before they could take hold of Jesus, somebody had to be paid to show them who Jesus was? Everybody look at me. It means that, let me say it again. Before they could take hold of Jesus, they had to pay someone in Jesus' cycle to be able to show them who Jesus really was. It means that Jesus looked just like his disciples. It means that Jesus was not the Alpha Omega. Even though he was. They had to pay somebody a private PA. And what did they say? When I kiss him, he is the one. They had to kiss Jesus. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It's not that Jesus was in the midst of 2,000 people, only 12. And they couldn't still say this was Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let people find you in service, and as you are serving, that's when they discover where you walk. Like I always say, it's the church that puts us where we are. We only celebrate those. Have you noticed sometimes? Yeah, may that never happen in God's palace. The way we welcome newcomers who dress well is not the way we welcome newcomers who wear shirts and trousers and slippers. When newcomers do so, Bratemi will say, "You are for me. How are you? How's your week? How can I have a number before we continue talking?" When he slipper, Bratemi will say, "Is it that brother there? He's the one with your form." Let it be. That's the problem in the book of James chapter 2. When it says faith without works is dead. What were they doing in the church? They were segregating those that had diamond ring. Sir, you are welcome in the name of the Lord. Those that are not, they don't sing for them. I say, see you next time. They don't say next time, they say next time. That and next time means whenever. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Let it be that you are found in service. Let's say you're found in service and then, wow, brother, this is, so you have, this is your house. Oh, wow. Not everything you achieve. Firstly, what's up? You buy shoes, you snap it from the angle of 90. And you post it. One girl can know it does not exist. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm born again. I'm going to fix my eyes this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. So, says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind, he didn't consider himself being equal. Now, let's look at that word equal. The word they're equal means, to be directly equivalent. It's the same thing I just said, sorry. I'm trying to look for a different, give me a synonym of equal. So it means that, look at it. Okay, let me use this example in scripture. The Bible says that God the Father of Jesus Christ. You can actually write, Father is equal to Jesus. Did you get that? Yes? God the Father, when you see Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father is the same Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? Are we together? Yet, so, keep being equal. Now, see what he now says in verse 7. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Let's read verse 7 together. Let's read verse 7 together. Let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Do you see that? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. He made himself. Let me show you where this scripture, you know, this scripture has allusion to. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who had believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. See, Isaiah started writing from chapter 1 up until chapter 53, and this was his goal. Who has believed what we are preaching? That's because Isaiah's message in the book of Isaiah was about forgiveness of sins. So he says, who are those who have believed our reports? See what now says in verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Who is that? You? Is it you? Yeah? Look at Psalm 118. We're coming back here quickly. Psalm 118. Verse 17. Go 22. The stone which the builder refused has become the headstone of the corner. Is that you? Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Is that about you? Hold on. This is the day, 24. The Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Is it about you? No, remember we've explained over and over. The Old Testament books point to a person, Jesus Christ. Right, Luke 24. Jesus began to explain for Moses and the prophets. Yeah, Luke 24, 44. The Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3. All scriptures are given by inspiration. They are profitable for what? Doctrine. He said, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation. So it means that when you read the Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, they point to Christ. Now, look at Acts 4, verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you people. Now, this what was happening after the fall was that they got somebody healed. Right? And the disciples were trying to explain how they got the person healed. So he said, "Be it known unto you all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," right? Whom what? So was it God that crucified Jesus? Yeah, so when you say, you know that song that says, the wrath of God was satisfied? What song is that? In Christ alone, my hope is found. The summary of this. So when you say the wrath of God was satisfied in Christ, is it the wrath of God or wrath of man? Wrath of man, right? Because for wrath to be in God, wrath is a fruit of the flesh. And God is spirit. For wrath to be in God, it means that God walked in the flesh. Yeah, look forward to that series. So who killed Jesus? Not God. God did not send thunder to strike Jesus. No, no, no. It was until they flogged Jesus, Jesus died. Are we together? Are we together? So they killed Jesus. What did God do? He rose him up again. Look at verse 11. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief corner. So go back to Isaiah and Psalms 118. 118 verse 22. So remember, when the apostles were teaching, they were teaching from the Old Testament books. Are we together? So it means that Peter in Acts 4 was reading Psalms 118. So the stone which the builder refused has become the chief cornerstone. Is that you? There's no you now. Yeah. Don't because they rejected you in your house. You say, "I'm the stone which the builder." I will go back to that village and show them. I know the stone which the builder rejected according to Psalm 118. He says it is Jesus who men killed and he God rose again. So what he says, look at verse 22, verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. Is it your house or your car? Is it your house or your car? Eh? It's called us, yeah. So is it your house or your car? Look at it. So, you know, this is favorite verse to a lot of people. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous, you know. And he does buy a car. Sometimes even we want to say this is the Lord's doing for a car. Let it be the latest car. Is it a miracle you got the car? But I mean, don't be insulting. The Lord's doing all in the fullness of God. All he could do was 1998 fourth hand model. You now open the bonnet and pour anointing oil on it. If we don't drive well, it's the end. It's not end well. So when he says this is the Lord's doing, what is he saying? The stone which the builder rejected, who has become the chief cornerstone, is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes to see, not your house. Not your house. Materialism is a lens and covetousness by which the saint looks at the Bible and gets more stingy. Gets more selfish. The Bible is about the person, Jesus Christ. If the Bible is about you, it is only about you to the degree at which you understand that person. So, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. What is the Lord's doing that's marvelous in our eyes? Oh, glory to God. The stone with the thoughts will not rise again. He rose again. He's alive. That's the Lord's doing. He rose him again. It's marvelous in our eyes. So, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. What day? We are in that dispensation of the resurrection. Not Sunday. No, we are in that day of resurrection. Not Sunday morning. Not Sunday evening. No, we are in that day. Hallelujah. This is the Lord's doing. Yes, that whosoever believes on the resurrection has eternal life forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm Isaiah 53, where we are. Isaiah 53, verse 2. So, Isaiah 53, 2. For he shall grow, is that you? Is that you? I just took us to Psalm 119 to show us scriptures about the person. So, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. Who is that? Jesus Christ. So it means that there was nothing about Jesus that you could have desired to want to have. Did you get that? Yet, was he the fullness of God? But so, Jesus who was, let me make this point clear. Jesus, who is the fullness of God, was not seen as the fullness of God. Because if man could have understood that that was God, they would have desired to be like him. Did you get that? If man could have seen Jesus Christ as the fullness of God, they would have desired to be like him. But scripture says there was nothing about him that showed he was the Son of God. We now know he was Son of God because he died and rose again. But for the 30 something years he was on earth, there was nothing about him you would have wanted to have. He says, there was no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should what? Desire him. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Is that God? Is that God? Is that God? Let me ask you a question. When men were despising and rejecting Jesus, was he God? So it means that there's a way, if you posture your heart we have in service to God, that even though people do, look at it, if you are the envy of your office and you come to a place to the church and the usher says sit here and you sit, would that take away your envyship? If you come early for service 9 o'clock, are you less of a director on Monday morning? Nobody answer now. If you are corrected according to scriptures, are you less of an envy? No! Some people now, sometimes you correct some people the way they will lambast you as their pastor. Next time you want to correct, you have to be. Sorry, brother. Because after that's why you don't react at the moment. Some people will come and tell you the pastor. After they finish lambasting you to as their pastor, they'll come and say, the pastor wasn't, it was the moment. So next time you want to correct them, what do you have to ask them? Sorry, in that moment. Let's know so I can. So if, and even as you're talking, you have to be stepping back. Please, are you in that moment? So I can know if I can correct you. Are we together? Let me ask you this question. Can you be like God to serve God? Let that be a ringing question in your heart for the week. Can you be like God to serve God? Can you be like Jesus, who is equal to God? Can you be like God to serve God? God has given you an example of service. So it means that everything that the local church will ask of you as service is not new to you. The person that made you a believer went through those things. Hallelujah. Go back to Philippians 2. Let's try and end it. Philippians 2. Look at verse 7. What is that question I just asked you? Can you be like God to serve God? Are we together? Can you be like, see, there should not be a reason why you stop going to a local assembly because they did not call you. Why? Don't let the things that men do to you affect your service to God. Let your eyes be fixed on that which matters. Are you together? Are we here? Are we here? Is there a place where we should call ourselves? Yes, we're a family, we should relate. But that should not be your reason if you know that what you're learning is sound. Look at verse 7. He made himself of no reputation. So can you see? It means that, now, let me now show you something there. This verse means that Jesus actually had a reputation. You see that? This verse shows that Jesus had a reputation, but he decided to make himself of no reputation. It's a decision you have to make with your reputation. Are we together? I don't want people in my office to know I'm a Christian. You know, there's a... He made himself an opportunity. And what did he do? So, he made himself an opportunity, that is, he took upon himself the what? Form of a servant. Can you be like God to serve God? Ask your neighbor that. The word they took upon is the Greek word, what you call lambano. You know that Greek word lambano? To lay hold of something. To take hold. So, it means that he laid hold on the form of servanthood and was made in likeness of men. Are we together? Are we together? Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a what? As a man. So, a shape that is made for himself. So, he made himself of that fashion, of that look. He being found in fashion as a man. He what? See, don't go home today, oh. Let's finish this service. We must finish it. What did he do? He what? There's a difference between when you humble yourself and when life humbles you. See, that man is so humble. I walked from Jabi to Area 1. I went on a prayer walk. It's not life that humbled me. Did you get that? It's not that I did not have money in my pocket. Right? So there's a difference between when life humbles you. Now you don't have money. How is that? Where does that? Wait. That's life humble. I've never noticed when they sack you, you become more humble. The next job you are going for, you see a smoker, you say, ah, I don't know who is the manager of this job. Money, sir. Money, man. That's life that has humbled you. But yet, but once you know the strength of your heart is humility, when we see that you have all you need, not you are looking for how to get what you want. Are we together? Are we together? You cannot claim to be humble when life has humbled you. Yeah, you can't claim to be humble when life has humbled you. It's life will humble you. You will see your true posture of humility. Yeah, now, you are coming late for church meeting. You are running. Let us see. The only way you can know if you are really humble is when you have that money in your account. And we see you running in for a meeting. But you know, no, pastor will not collect the offering until I get there. It's not Pastor Joshua. No. You can't talk about it until I get it, because mine is the one that will shake the base of the offering. Your humility, he says, oh my gracious Father, there's a lot to learn in Luke. See, if you want to learn how to serve God effectively, look at God. Did you get that? If you want to learn how to serve God effectively, look at God. He gave us a template. Look at it. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Yeah? He submitted himself to die. Hallelujah. Death had no power over him. Are we together? Death doesn't have any power over God. But he submitted himself to die. Hey, glory to God. Let me tell you something. Life submitted himself to death. Life submitted himself to death. Hallelujah. Don't let the things you've achieved in this life on earth get into your head. There are people who are rich today and they are going to be poor tomorrow. It's not a prophecy. It's reality. There are people who are poor today and will be rich tomorrow. As a believer, we expect the best of every situation. Life will not always go as we expect, but fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on those things that matter. What matters? What matters? God has called you into a ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let your fellow members in church not know when they sack you. And let them not know also when you got a good job, except they ask you, or except something leads to it. No, no, be like, you just come. So when they sack you, you didn't tell us how you were sending your CV to the nations of the earth. Everywhere, so you know, some of us now, right now as we are talking, in your Bible, you have 5 of your CVs. You know, so after church service today now, you're laughing. I don't know if you're one of them. After church service today now, you know, they say, how are you doing? How's work? But when you don't get the job, how much are they paying you? They're paying you $400,000. I'm in the top 1% earners of Nigeria. Choir? Why don't you just be sitting from back and be observing what they're singing? And be observing. Let me know when they need a key. They tell me, brother, let me. Tell me where you need a new keyboard. So just let me know. You have the number, right? Ring me. Hallelujah. Let your push. See, some of you now, please, I'm teaching this deliberately. I don't want to lose any of you to the cares of this world. Life will not always go as we expect. Let me assure you. Life will not always go as we expect. It's an assurance of life. We have another assurance. We have the peace of God in us. We have to fix our eyes on that which matters. See, the peace of God already resides in you, can take you through any storm. Any. I'm not saying it's bad to sob and cry. No, I'm not saying that. But the peace of God in you. You know, one of our fathers in the faith in Nigeria, you know, lost his son over the week. He preached the next day after. Are you telling me it's not painful? You know what it is for a man that almost 80 to lose his son that's half his age? But what happens? There's a peace that if you fix your eyes on that, there is no storm that can get you. I'm telling you from the word of God and from experience. There is no storm that will move you. You are rich tomorrow, your eyes is fixed. You are poor tomorrow, your eyes is fixed. You suffer today, your eyes is fixed. You become wealthy tomorrow, your eyes is fixed. Let it be that, oh, we get to Brashek Gunza. Oh, Brashek, this is your house. We see 10 bedrooms. Oh, Brashek, what is your house? And that brother is coming early. Not so those people will know where they are going through challenges in their life. Do you know how? Enter the church by 8:59, you see them. After 8:59, that's when they know they want to fellowship with the brethren. Before, when there was money, I saw the pastor sharing the grace that I had done. See, I will fix my eyes on that which matters. I will fix my eyes on that which matters. I will not allow my position, my age, my money, my exposure, expose my fake character. Hallelujah. You know, position can expose your fake character. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's end in verse 9. Let's just see the next verse. I think I'll just further teach this again. Yeah, beautiful. So it says, wherefore God had also exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, earth, and all that under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, he said, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is a verse a lot of people take out of context. He didn't say walk for your salvation. He says walk out. So it means that for you to walk out your salvation, it has been walked in. Yes. Are we together? How do we know that? Look at verse 13. For it is God which walketh in. Glory, yeah, God walketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So because there's a walking in you already, there's a walking out. So when it says walk out your salvation, it's not saying walk for your salvation. Not if I don't lie, if I don't steal. Let me tell you something. If there's a man on earth who has not believed the gospel, but doesn't lie, doesn't steal, doesn't fornicate, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, yet he's still a candidate of hellfire until he believes the gospel. Hallelujah. So it says walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. We'll look at that verse on Wednesday. Praise God. Praise God. I've been blessed this morning. Say, I will fix my eyes on the things that matter. I will fix my eyes on the things that matter. Glory.